الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, we continue with the tafsir of Sheikh عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله, in particular ayah 69 of سورة النساء. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And whosoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then they will be in the company of those on whom Allah has bestowed His grace, of the prophets, the Siddiqeen or the Siddiqoon, who are the followers of the prophets, and those who believe in the truth and act according to it. Washuhada are the martyrs, those who die in the cause of Allah, and the scholars. Wasalihin and the righteous. And how excellent is the companionship of those. Sheikh Abdul Rahman says, rahimahullah, in commenting on these ayat, أي كل من أطاع الله ورسوله على حسب حاله وقدر الواجب عليه من ذكر أو أنثى, من ذكر وأنثى وصغير وكبير, فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم. Whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger according to his condition and according to what is obligatory upon him, meaning there are things which are obligatory on you that are not obligatory on others, correct? If you're married and you have children, you have an obligation towards yourself, towards your wife, and towards your children. If you're not married, you don't have these obligations. So people are not on the same level. If you're a mudir, if you're a supervisor, you're responsible for the employees that work under you, that you don't overburden them, you don't take their right, you don't deprive them of their salary, as many people do today. Huh? 2-3 months, no salary. Haram! Wallah haram! And these people will have to answer Allah on the Day of Judgment for depriving the people of their wealth for no valid reason. So the responsibility then is what? Is different depending on your situation. Whether you're male or female, whether you are young or old. Now what happens if you obey Allah and His Messenger? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then that those who obey Allah and His Messenger will be in the company of those. أي النعمة العظيمة التي تقتضي الكمال والفلاح والسعادة. What is intended by the bounty which Allah has bestowed upon them? This immense bounty which necessitates perfection, success, and happiness. This is the bounty Allah bestowed upon them. Meaning He gave them that through which they're able to have the highest character. They're able to attain success in this life and the life to come, and they have a contentment. They are happy people, happy with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min al-Nabiyyin. From among who? Who are those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon? The first on the list are the who? An-Nabiyyin. Nabiyyin, is it singular or plural? What is the singular? Nabi. One prophet, Nabi. Nabiyyin or Nabiyyun or Anbiya. You will see the three of them in the Quran. You will either read Anbiya, which is Jama' Taksir, or Nabiyyun or Nabiyyin. All of them are the plural form of the singular Nabi. Ma'i? Tayyib. Now, when you say Nabi, a prophet, who is included automatically? When you say prophet, sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do we call him? Muhammadun Rasul, Rasulullah, messengers. Prophets and messengers are not the same. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. يعني message, the message hood is a stage above prophethood. A prophet is one who was contacted divinely by Allah, but he may not have a new law. He doesn't have a legislation which he has to convey to the people. He may be applying the law of a prophet that came before him. Like Musa was given the Torah. Many among the prophets applied the law of the Torah until Jesus came, who also applied the law of the Torah with some modification. With some modification. So he was given the gospel. But the gospel is pretty much the Torah, the teachings of the Torah, with some lighter rulings. وَلِأُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ, he said to the Jews, and so I may lighten the burden which was placed upon you because of their violations. So Jesus was actually sent also applying the Torah, but because he was giving new law, the gospel, he's a Rasul, he's a messenger of Allah. So then the messenger is a stage above. So when Allah mentions the Nabiyeen, who's already included? All the messengers. If Allah mentioned the messengers here, who would be excluded? The prophets who didn't make it. You see the Quran? So the choice of words is very particular. Allah says Nabiyeen, every Rasul is included. Ibrahim, Nuh, Moses, Aaron, Jesus, David, Solomon, all of these are included. If he were to say Rusul, then you would have to exclude the Anbiya, because not every Rasul, not every Nabi is a Rasul. How many messengers we had? 313. How many prophets? 24,000. صح? 24,000 prophets, 313 messengers. A huge difference in numbers between the prophets and the messengers. طيب. من النبيين, from among the prophets, الذين فضلهم الله بوحيه واختصهم بتفضيلهم بإرسالهم إلى الخلق ودعوتهم إلى الله تعالى. The prophets Allah has favored by revelation. By revelation, meaning they received revelation from Allah. And Allah يعني, specifically chose them and He favored them by sending them out to the people. يعني they were chosen that Allah sent down revelation. Then they were chosen because Allah commanded them to go out and invite the people to this and invite the people to Allah. This is why the most noble of human beings are the prophets of Allah. And we all know that as human beings, we were commanded to imitate the noble people or the wicked people? The noble people. This is a human mentality. Your mother will tell you, look at the professor in university. I want you to be like him. She doesn't tell you, look at the drug dealer down the street. I want you to be like him. Or look at that drunkard over there. Why don't you get drunk like him? No way. No way. Because human beings aspire to imitate good people. طيب, who are the best? The prophets. So who are we supposed to aspire and strive to imitate? The prophets. In the way they behave, and the way they speak, and the way they look, and the way they act, as much as we can. Everything from the prophets, and particularly the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we know how he did. He did things. We know what he looked like. So we try to resemble him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We try to emulate him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. والصديقين وهم الذين كمل تصديقهم بما جاءت به الرسل. Why were they called صديقين? صديقين is derived from the word صدق. صدق is truth. Truth. Someone صادق, he's truthful. صدق فلان, he has said the truth. طيب, they were called صديقين because their level of believing has reached perfection. يعني they believe in such a sense, such a manner that there's no doubt associated with it. So for instance, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa alladhi barakna hawla linuriyahu min ayatina. Sahih? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from the Masjid al-Haram, Mecca, to the Jerusalem, the Masjid in Jerusalem. This was Isra. Isra. Then the Mi'raj, the ascension in the heaven. He went to the heavens, alayhi salatu wasalam. He went to paradise. He saw things in paradise. He met the prophets in the different stages of heavens. He spoke to Allah directly. And the salah was made obligatory. Now, when he came back and said to his people what happened, what did they do? They couldn't believe. Look, there were no airplanes, no jumbo jets, no, you know, Boeings, no cars. There's no means for you to go from Mecca to Palestine in one night. In one night. It's the distance is that of days and weeks. So they couldn't believe him. The Quraysh, they said, you're lying. Come on, you're gonna tell us you went from this masjid to that masjid, then you went to the heaven? Yeah, right. When they came and said this to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he wasn't a Siddiq, yeah, he was Abu Bakr. He believed automatically. He said, I believe him concerning the revelation he brings from Allah. I'm not going to believe him that he went to the heavens. Big deal. From that day on, he was called Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Because he believed with no doubt. The Messenger of Allah said it, it must be correct. He doesn't say, well, let me see what the scientists say. If science agrees with this Quranic ayah, I will believe in it. If the science doesn't agree, I will not. No. He didn't say, let me ask, you know, the Mawlana, if he agrees with the Sunnah or not. No. Anything from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was done deal for them. So then we have Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and we have Aisha as-Siddiqatu bintu as-Siddiq. Maryam, the mother of Jesus, was also a Siddiqa. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Tayyib. وَفَعَلِمُوا الْحَقَّ وَصَدَّقُوهُ بِيَقِينِهِمْ وَبِالْقِيَامِ بِهِ قَوْلًا وَعَمَلًا وَحَالًا وَدَعْوَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ. They believed, they knew the truth, they believed in it with certainty, and they applied it in their statements, in their actions, in their condition, and in the way they invited to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالشُّهَدَى الذين قاتلوا في سبيل الله لإعلاء كلمة الله. The shuhada are those who fought in the cause of Allah so that the word of Allah may be supreme. Not for nationalism, not for any other objective, no. Not for the deen of Allah, for kalimatullah to be the most supreme. So they risk their most valuable thing they have. When you risk your money, you can always make more money. When you risk your house, you can buy another house. But what is the one thing which if you risk, you cannot get again? Your life. If you risk your life, khalas, there's no coming back. So when you reach a level where you're willing to risk your life for the sake of Allah, this is a high level of faith. It's a high level of faith. Now of course, this does not mean that you go to a supermarket and you have a belt with dynamite around your waist and you blow it up in the supermarket, say Allahu Akbar, and kill innocent people. No. That is not Islam. That is not Islam. Killing innocent civilians, or let's call them non-combatants, is not Islam. But if someone wanted to fight you on the battlefield, because we're recording, if someone wanted to fight you on the battlefield, you better believe that Muslims are the bravest people. Because they get their power from Allah. They get their aid from Allah. So we don't deny jihad. And no one has the right to deny jihad. And no one can come and tell the people, peace, 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 peace. Don't lie. This is part of our deen. If you don't like it, you know, many other religions are there. You will pay for the consequences. But our deen, jihad is part of it. You have to like it. But we have guidelines for jihad. We're not terrorists. We're not bloodthirsty people who wish to kill people. No. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came back to open Mecca and the conquest of Mecca, he could have fought back against the people who had initially made him leave. But he forgave all of them. Why? Because we want to avoid bloodshed. But if someone wants to exterminate Islam, if they want to put away Islam, they want to yuriduna ayyutfi'u nur Allah, they want to put out the light which Allah sent down to Islam, then no one is allowed to do so. And we will fight for our right. And we don't give you the other cheek. Now you get the one first cheek, and the second thing you see is a knockout. There's no giving the other cheek in this regard. Is that clear? So when you sacrifice your life for the sake of Allah, that's Iman right there. That is the epitome of Iman. Which is the shuhada. Those who fought in the cause of Allah for the word of Allah to be most supreme, فَقُتِلُوا, so they were killed in the process. They fought and they were killed. وَالصَّالِحِينَ الَّذِينَ صَلُحَ ظَاهِرُهُمْ وَبَاطِنُهُمْ. Salihin is the righteous. Those who were righteous outwardly and inwardly. Those who were righteous outwardly and inwardly. فَصَلَحَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ, so their deeds became righteous. So they're outwardly righteous, inwardly righteous, their actions which they do have become also righteous. فَكُلُّ مَنْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى كَانَ مَعَ هَؤُلَاءِ وَفِي صُحْبَتِهِمْ. So whosoever then obeys Allah will be with those, it will be in the company of those and one of their friends. If you what? You follow the Nabiyeen and the Siddiqeen and Shuhada and Salihin. We all have the ability at least to be among the Salihin, correct? The Shuhada, Allah al-Musta'an, we ask Allah to make it happen. طيب. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what an excellent companionship is the companionship of those. يعني, if you're in the company of those, that is the most excellent, best of or group of buddies that you can have. Today you hang out with your friends, maybe with your relatives or with the cool people, you know, who live on the block, and you think that these are the excellent, you know, I have my friends are the best friends. No, they're not. I'm sorry to tell you that. The best friends is the prophets and the Siddiqeen and Shuhada and Salihin. These are the real nice people. And will you be in their company today? Some of them. But you'll be in the company of them where? In paradise. In paradise. إِخْوَانٌ عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Brothers on beds, on canopies, facing one another. So the people in paradise will be chilling. Really, really, really chilling. In paradise, you got this wine that doesn't get you drunk, you know? So you don't act silly. Because now people, when they get drunk, they get silly. They act really silly. No, in Jannah, you drink wine that will not get you intoxicated. Of course, you got your ladies. You got your halal ladies. At least two of them. At least two. If you're a better Muslim now, maybe four or five. If you're a shaheed, 72. 72. And you'll be macho men. You'll be Rambo and Sylvester Stallone and all that, you know, all the things which we have in our mind as youngsters, you know, as being tough. All of these will be in you, even if you're skinny right now and you can barely walk out of the door. You'll be handling business over there in Jannah. And the women which you sleep with, they will always return to being virgins after you're finished. Yeah, and every time it's like the first time. And of course you got your diamond and a pearl, which you live in, and all these different compartments, and you're chilling, you got, you know, the wildan al-mukhalladun, You know, you got servants who deliver for you whatever you want. You want chicken, you want kabsa. I don't think you would want kabsa in Jannah, man. You have too much kabsa now. He goes, there's no more kabsa, Allah yarda alaykum. Give me something else. You'll have maybe whatever, tuna, octopus, whatever you like to eat. It's ongoing, ongoing, forever and ever and ever until the tape ends. The tape doesn't end. It's just forever. You will continue to enjoy these blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. And these will be your friends and your buddies. So make sure you choose righteous friends today so you can be with righteous friends later on. If you choose wicked friends today, you may not be with these nice friends in the life to come. Speaking is strictly prohibited during the class. Barakallahu feekum. Ayah number 7. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَفْوًا ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. Such is the bounty from Allah, and Allah is sufficient as all-knower. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ الَّذِي نَالُوهُ. That bounty which they have acquired, مِنَ اللَّهِ, is from Allah. هو الذي وفقهم لذلك وأعانهم عليه. It is Allah who gave them the success to attain that, and He aided them in acquiring it as well. وأعطاهم من الثواب ما لا تبلغه أعمالهم. And Allah has given them of reward what their deeds cannot truly deserve. يعني, you learn from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله به حسنة والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. فلا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. If you recite one letter from the book of Allah, then you will get one good deed for it. But that one good deed is multiplied by 10 automatically. Automatically 10. So that's why I don't say alif lam meem is one letter. Rather, alif is one letter, lam is one letter, meem is one letter. So by saying alif lam meem, 30 good deeds. 30. Now you show me a boss who will give you 30 riyals if you say 3 letters. Never. In fact, you may read a book for him and he will deduct 2,000 riyals from your salary. Huh? Not only he will not give you, he will take away from your money. Why? Mudir ta'ban. The mudir of the dunya is ta'ban. Most mudir is ta'ban. Most of them. Illa man rahim Allah. Maybe few, you can say this mudir is miya miya. But the rest of them, garbage. Garbage. And they misrepresent Islam. And if we were given the authority to teach them all lessons and lash them, wallah, we would lash them for the way they treat the people, which is un-Islamic, very un-Islamic. Many non-Muslims, they run away from Islam because of these wicked creatures, because of the mistreatment which they suffer at the hands of these, you know, mudir. So, you know, the worldly mudir is no good, but Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't treat us in this fashion. So now in Ramadan, I'm sure all of you are reading a lot of Quran. Sahih? Maybe some of you will do a khatma. You know, they will finish the whole thing. How much reward is there? If Allah were to deal with us justly, our deed will not deserve. But Allah will multiply each letter by 10, maybe more. So if you read the whole Quran, you will leave this and finish Ramadan with good deeds that you cannot even begin to count. You cannot even begin to count. Subhanallah al-Azim. So this is the ajr from Allah Azza wa Jal. Na'am. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. And sufficient Allah is as all-knower. يَعْلَمُ أَحْوَالَ عِبَادِهِ وَمَنْ يَسْتَحِقُّ مِنْهُمُ الثَّوَابَ الْجَزِيلِ بِمَا قَامَ بِهِ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ الَّتِي تَوَاطَأَ عَلَيْهَا الْقَلْبُ وَالْجَوَارِحِ. Then Allah knows the affairs of His slaves and who amongst them deserves the great reward because of the good deeds which he has performed that is in agreement with the heart and the limbs. يعني the best deed is the one where your heart is in agreement with your body parts. Not something that is only the body is moving but the heart is absent. No, the presence of the heart along with the movement and the actions of the limbs. طيب آية 71 الله عز وجل says يا أيها الذين آمنوا خذوا حذركم فانفروا ثبات أو انفروا جميعا all you who believe or all you have believed take your precautions and either go forth on an expedition in parties or go forth all together actually this is all context of jihad which is very interesting and I like to discuss the subject matter in particular because there's a lot of misconception concerning it and it is an opportunity to share the truth with our fellow Muslims inshallah ta'ala يأمر تعالى عباده المؤمنين بأخذ حذرهم من أعدائهم الكافرين وهذا يشمل الأخذ بالأسباب أو الأخذ بجميع الأسباب التي بها يستعان على قتالهم ويستدفع مكرهم وقوتهم نعم Allah commands his believing slaves to be very cautious against their disbelieving enemies And this includes utilizing all means available which can be used in aiding, in fighting them, and putting an end to their plotting and their power. Because let me tell it to you straight. Look. Allah created the creation. Sahih? Correct? And He commanded them to do one thing, which is what? To worship Him alone. We agree? Fine. When this commandment came, the human beings were divided into two main categories. Those who fulfilled the reason, the purpose of creation, and they obeyed Allah, and those who went against Allah. Sahih? Beautiful. Now, it's criminal enough. It's criminal enough to go against the objective of Allah's creation. Yani if Allah created you to worship Him and you deny it, that's already one crime. That's already criminal enough. How about when not only you don't fulfill the purpose of your creation, but you also worship other than Allah? Not that you didn't worship anything, no. But you made other gods and you claimed that they are equal to Allah and you invited the people to worship false gods. That's double crime. And what is even worse than that is when you don't fulfill the objective of worship, you worship other than Allah and then you also want to kill and fight those who want to do what Allah wants them to do. Now that is criminal. And this is what we need to understand. People say, why jihad? Why this? Say, listen, man, do you understand what we're saying here? You're talking about people whom Allah created. Allah gave them health. Allah gave them wealth. Allah gave them intellect. Allah gave them everything they have. Then they take everything from Allah. They want to reject Him. And they want to worship other than Him. Then they want to kill those who want to do what Allah wants them to do. This is war against Allah. This is war against the Creator. And these people are criminals. So this is what we need to realize. There's a gravity in your crime. If you were very hungry, you were starving. I don't like this thing, man. You were very hungry. Mashi? And you wind up going to a grocery store and stealing a banana. That's a crime. Fine. You are very hungry and you see a boy or a man walking down the street. So you kicked him and you took his banana. That's a crime. Third case, you're very hungry. You see an old lady walking down the street, you beat her up, and you took her banana. That's a crime. Fourth case, someone walking down the street, you shoot him dead, then you take the banana. That's a crime. Now, in all cases, you committed the crime of stealing a banana. But Some are worse than others. If you are able to steal a banana from the grocery store without harming anyone, then that's the least of the crime you can commit. But why shoot someone for a banana? Or why kick an old lady for a banana? So the crimes are not at the same level. The crime of those who fight against Islam is the worst crime in the world. It's the worst crime in the world. And because Allah had revealed this truth, which is supposed to be protected, it's supposed to be preserved, He legislated that we can defend it with arms. Because if we don't, they will drop a bomb on us. And if we were to turn the other cheek, this US will come and bomb all the Muslim countries. Nuclear bomb here, there, here, there, we're done. No more Islam. But that is not the case. Allah then legislated that this truth needs power to support it. This truth needs force to defend it. So He legislated then this for the believers, so that they may defend the truth which He sent down. If people complain, if a Christian complain, say, come here, open the Bible. Open the Bible and read what you find in the Bible. I can quote to you, if I have a Word document here, I can quote to you tens and tens of biblical verses of jihad. In fact, some of them, like in Luke, I believe it's chapter 14, verse 9, it describes Jesus as one with a sword, with blood trickling from the top of his sword. Jesus saying, "Oh, how I wish there was fire on earth." He said, "I did not come to bring peace, rather fire. And I, how I wish that the earth was already kindled." You will find descriptions of Jesus, military. And of course, in the Old Testament, plenty in Genesis and Deuteronomy, that Moses was commanded to go kill the people, kill everyone, only virgin girls were supposed to be left for them. This is known. But the Christians don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. So they come say, "Oh, you Muslims, you terrorists, you know Abu Sayyaf," and this, they say, "Hey, shh, be quiet. Be quiet, go open your Bible. You don't even know your own Bible. I can bring you things that you will never find in the Quran." So if you claim that the act of fighting in the cause of Allah should make you leave the religion, you should leave Christianity now. Because I'll bring you verses that says that Jesus wanted to burn the earth. If this is the King of Peace that you claim to follow, leave Christianity. They will not leave him. Because they're not really following what God sent. They're following what they like. They're following what they like. They want something easy. What's the easiest religion in the world? Christianity. Jesus died for you. Hooray! All right. Nice. I don't have to do nothing. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Yalla. Paradise is waiting for you. Ishhada. This is the easiest thing in the world. That's like as soon as you go to school, the principal says, he's your uncle. He says, "Listen, no problem, man. Whatever you do, you're going to pass." What are you going to do in the school year? Say, "Oh, beautiful. You throw away the books." Every day you come to school, you sit like this in the class. "What's going on, guys? What's happening here?" "Study." "Ah, my uncle is the principal, man. Khalas is done. I'm going to graduate." This is sick mentality. So they say, "Jesus died for you. Jesus for you. God sent. God created a problem. Then He solved this problem by killing Himself." That's what the Christians say. God created a problem with Adam and Eve. He regretted, how did He create these creatures who disobeyed Him? So what's the solution? "Let me create a son who will be me. Then he will be killed, so they will be forgiven." So God created the problem. He solved the problem. You're just watching. And you get all the goods and the fruits and the benefits. This is Christianity. Most people are Christians not because they believe in Jesus, because there's nothing easier out there. They see you grow on your beard, you're praying five times a day, say, "Ay, ay, ay. You know, I cannot do this anymore. I have to leave my girlfriend. I can no longer drink my tequila. And so, mafia, no, not Islam. No, I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic Christian. I believe." Wallah, he doesn't believe anything. He doesn't even know anything. You bring him any verse in the Bible, he is reading it for the first time. Most of them don't know anything about their religion, except what the priest, screams on the minbar every Sunday.
You know who? Jimmy Swaggart? You know what they're gonna learn from Jimmy Swaggart? The prostitute picker? Wallah, a bunch of clowns, wallah. But you need to know the truth. You need to know the truth. So when they come and speak about jihad, say, come see the Bible. We didn't bring this. We didn't invent this. This is something that God has legislated before. We are the nicest people, though. Islam does not allow us to kill women. Islam does not allow us to kill children. Islam does not allow us to kill animals. Islam does not allow us to burn trees. Islam does not allow us to demolish homes. Which nation on earth applies this in their warfare? None. None. All the nations in the world who claim to be peace lovers and propagating peace and freedom kill children, women, and innocent elderly people. Islam does not allow you to burn down a church. Islam does not allow you to go to church and kill a priest in the church. Islam does not allow you to kill a woman or a child or an elderly person. The only people whom you allow to fight against are men on the battlefield. These are the rules of Islam and jihad. Who applies them? No one. We are the nicest people on the battlefield. They are the criminals, wallah. They are the criminals, but, waikum salam, they twist it around. We'll catch you next week, habibi. Barakallah feek, jazakallah khair. They are the criminals who bring CNN and Fox News and, you know, all these media, all the Jewish, you know, Zionist media working for them, so they brainwash us. Muslim terrorists, you're wrong. So you start feeling guilty. You start feeling guilty for being a Muslim, as if you're committing a crime. Hala, they are the nice people and we are the criminals? La wallah. In Iraq, what are they doing in Iraq? Who attacked who? Did Saddam Hussein go to America and drop a bomb in New York? No, he didn't. But they're over there. They went after him. Same thing in Afghanistan. Did they go and fight against the states? No, they didn't. Every Muslim country, the Muslims are the ones being victimized and killed, but the media tells us that we are the criminals so that they can feel okay with what they're doing. And we believe it. The problem is some Muslims believe it. Say, yeah, sah, sah. Shh. Islam is peace. Peace, brother. No, we love everyone. We love everyone. You're a Christian, no problem. That is not true. That is not true. It is not like that. So we have to know so we can share the true message with others. And we don't sugarcoat it. It's not, you know, like gahwa. You know, you say masboot, sukkar masboot. You want, you know, 3 spoons of sugar, 2, everybody echo. No. It's not the way you like it. It's Islam as Allah revealed it. You have to serve it as it was revealed. You cannot add sugar, remove sugar, put cinnamon, take out cinnamon, nothing. It's not your business. So when you convey the message of Islam, make sure you remain true to it. You remain true to it. So it was legislated for us then to defend ourselves and to protect Islam and the Muslims from the attack of the enemies, which is constant. It's constant. We are experiencing it today. Today. Whether in the Shia, attacking the Sunni Muslims, most of which are not even Muslims, the Shia or the Kuffar outright. Everyone is against Islam and the people of Sunnah. من استعمال الحصون والخنادق. Like we use, that we are, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us to utilize all means, like using fortresses and trenches. وتعلم الرمي والركوب. And that you learn aiming. It's a Sunnah. It's a sunnah to learn how to aim and shoot. Now, of course, it depends on the times. Back then it was the bow and arrow. Beautiful, right? Don't worry, Bustinera. Okay, we'll aim at the clock. You know, that's a rami is power. It's power. Nowadays, you become a sniper. Huh? You become a sniper. It's a sunnah to learn these things. You should have some power or some skills in that regard, because you don't know when Allah will bring the jihad for the Muslims. You don't know when we'll all have to go and handle business for the sake of Allah. You don't want to stand there and just wave at the people, you know, like a cheerleader, you know? Shoot him. Now what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? You better have some skills. You know, either you're tough or you're big or you're muscular or you got some sort of skills. Also, al-rukub. Learn how to
horse ride or horse riding or riding animals in general. You should be familiar with how to ride an animal. Okay, make sure you don't try it on a sheep. And some people get on a sheep and they say, I can ride a sheep. No, habibi, riding a sheep doesn't count. You have to ride a big horse or a camel or something along these lines. وَتَعَلُّمُ الصِّنَعَاتِ الَّتِي تُعِينَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Also that we learn the different products or produce to help us in that. يعني you also learn things which are related to technology. So you'll also be up to date with the world. وَمَا بِهِ يُعْرَفُ مَدَاخِلُهُمْ وَمَخَارِجُهُمْ وَمَكْرُهُمْ. And things with which we can know from where they enter, from where they leave, and the way they plot. وَالنَّفِيرُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And also to go out in the cause of Allah. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ فَنْفِرُوا ثُبَاتٍ أي مُتَفَرِّقٍ. So Allah says, so go out in groups. بِأَن تَنْفِرْ سَرِيَّةٌ أَوْ جَيْشٌ وَيَقِيمْ غَيْرُهُمْ. Like an expedition or a delegation will go out while another one remains firm and fixed. أَوْ إِنْفِرُوا جَمِيعًا or go all together. وَكُلُّ هَذَا تَبَعٌ لِلْمَصْلَحَةِ وَالنِّكَايَةِ وَالرَّاحَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي دِينِهِمْ. All this is depending on the circumstances. Either we are commanded to go all together or to keep a group behind while another one goes on an expedition, whatever is suitable for the Muslims and means of protecting them from their enemies. وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةَ نَظِيرُ قَوْلِ تَعَالَى وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. This ayah is equal to the statement of Allah and prepare for them whatever you can of power. Anyways, the discussion is lengthy and it's wise that we stop at this particular stage. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ. If we all remain alive and healthy, we will continue next week around the same time with the continuation of the tafsir. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.